Today is the feast day of St. Clare of Assisi. Her feast day is August 11th. She was born in that beautiful town of Assisi, just a few hours' drive north of Rome, born in the year 1193 into a very noble and wealthy family. And there was a young man in that town whom Clare liked quite a bit. His name was Francis of Assisi. He was a very wealthy son of a merchant. And Francis at this time in his life was, the life of the party, always out as a singer and troubadour and drinking and having a wonderful time with his friends. But she noticed that he had been converted and had given up all his wealth and had begun wearing just a very simple, rough habit of wool, and that he was walking around barefoot, that he was begging, that he was filled with great joy and spirit, and the Holy Spirit. And this attracted her. She heard him preaching, and then through many conversations with him, realized what he had done. He had given up everything. He had made vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. He felt that God was calling him to do something for the church, to help strengthen and help rebuild the church at that time through the living out of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And so she decided to leave home in the year 1212 and become a follower of St. Francis. He already had a small group of men that were following him at this time. They were living in poverty. They were going around preaching. They were begging for the food that they needed. And so she too felt, I wanted to belong to this new movement in the church. See, saints always reproduce themselves. Saints reproduce saints. Look what Mother Teresa did in producing so many followers that she has. And every founder of religious order, in a sense, reproduces themselves by living a life of holiness, and others are attracted to that life of holiness as well. So St. Clare left her very wealthy and noble family. She went to this small chapel, the Porciuncula Chapel, that is still there in Assisi. Today, a beautiful basilica surrounds that small chapel. She was met there by St. Francis and the other brothers, holding lighted candles. She came in and began to wear the sackcloth, and her beautiful long blonde hair was cut, showing that she was giving up the vanities of the world and that she would focus on and made these vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. The only problem was there was no convent for her to go. They had brought her there. She couldn't be there with the men. So Francis arranged for her to go live with the Benedictines. Of course, here we are in this beautiful Benedictine monastery. So the Benedictines took in St. Clare. They got a little bit more than they bargained for, because soon the whole town and village showed up with pitchforks and swords to try to get her back, led by her family, who was so upset that she had joined this young, brand new order. Eventually, she was able to convince them this is what God was calling her to do. Eventually, her sister Agnes joined the convent, and even her mother joined after her father died. So pretty soon, Clare was there with a group of women. They were known as the Poor Women of Assisi, later known as the Poor Clares. Francis asked Clare to be the head of this new order, and they lived life of extreme poverty and humility. They wore no shoes. They slept on the ground each night. And if you go to Assisi, you can see the room where, in the corner of the room, she slept on the floor. She did this for the next, 42 years until her death at the age of 60. They ate no meat. They were completely trusting in divine providence. They would go out and beg, and they only ate the food that was donated to them. Well, she lived this incredible life, and even though she had many health problems, she was sick for the last 27 years of her life. Some amazing occurrences took place. The Saracens came to invade. They had sacked different towns. They were coming to pillage and sack the town of Assisi. St. Clare heard about this, gathered the sisters together, and they prayed before the Blessed Sacrament. St. Clare even took the Blessed Sacrament in a monstrance and held it out, overlooking the attacking Saracen crowd, held it from her window. If you go to Assisi, you can see that window in which she held the Blessed Sacrament. And according to the eyewitnesses, the Saracens turned and fled and did not attack the town. What they saw, we don't know, but it was enough to scare them not to attack the town. So St. Clair saved the town. Well, she died in the year 1253 after governing the Poor Clares for 42 years. And if you go to Assisi, you can see her body is still incorrupt in the chapel. So what a wonderful saint she was. What St. Francis did for this religious order of men, she did for the religious order of women. On her deathbed, she was visited by the Pope. Pope Innocent IV visited her. He knew how holy a woman she was. And in fact, during the last couple years of her life, she spent time writing letters advising popes, cardinals, and bishops. So we have a tremendous saint that we honor today, a saint very close to the heart of our diocese of Arlington, because we have the Poor Clares in Alexandria. That's well worth a field trip to take your daughters and even your sons to go visit and to listen to the nuns chant the beauty of the divine office and to help support the sisters in any way we can. I had the privilege of saying Mass with the Poor Clares for 2 years when I was stationed in Alexandria. And what a wonderful thing to see their tremendous joy and love for Christ. And that's one of the most beautiful things about the order. They're so filled with the spirit of poverty, chastity, and obedience, but the great hallmark you see is their incredible happiness and joy in being completely detached from the things of this world and completely attached to Christ. And through the intercession of St. Clair, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.